I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
On today's episode, we're going to explore the history of both Germany's Oktoberfest and everyone's favorite sausage, Bratwurst.
Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
Just to get this out of the way, Oktoberfest, despite its name, actually begins on the third Saturday in September and ends the first Sunday in October.
Which doesn't bother us. Any excuse to drink some beer and eat a bunch of food regardless of a month is okay in our book. Today, I have a spin on traditional bratwurst, as we're making a bratwurst meatball sandwich with beer-braised sauerkraut.
But first, let's dive into the history of Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest was first hosted in October of 1810 to celebrate the marriage of Crown Prince Ludwig, later King Ludwig I, and Princess Therese of Saxe-Hildburghausen, which is a total mouthful and I apologize if I just butchered her name. The citizens of Munich were invited to the fields in front of the gates of the city, and they named the fields Therese's Meadow to honor their new crown princess.
The festival featured horse races, and of course wine and beer tastings above the stands on the hill overlooking the racetrack. The following year, the festival included a celebration of Bavarian agriculture. Over the next 7 years, minus the cancellation of the 1813 Oktoberfest due to the Napoleonic Wars, the festival continued to grow, adding carnival booths, bowling, and other events for attendees.
It was in 1819 that the festival was made into an official annual event, and later lengthened to include the end of the month of September, as the days are both warmer and longer. Over the years, the celebration grew in scope and was rarely canceled, but if it was, it was typically war that held the festival off. It was in the 1960s that the festival started to become famous worldwide. Over the years, the festival has continued to grow, with 6.4 million visitors in 2013, but that number isn't as impressive as the 6.7 million liters of beer consumed that year. And that isn't counting all the beer consumed at pubs, bars, and house parties for people that celebrate Oktoberfest for themselves around the world. And of course, Oktoberfest is not just about the beer, but also about the food. And this leads us directly to the history of bratwurst.
Bratwurst is a finely chopped or ground meat sausage that's typically spiced with white pepper and nutmeg, along with salt and a variety of herbs and spices. The history of the food goes back to the 1300s, when farmers, in what is now the eastern parts of the country, would make the sausage in the morning and eat it with their breakfast and lunch. One of the main things to remember about bratwurst is that there isn't one single recipe. In my readings, I've found at least 40 different variations of traditional bratwurst, and hundreds of Americanized versions stuffed with jalapenos, cheese, and more. One of the major differences between them is the meat that's used. Now, most American brats are 100% pork, whereas many brats in Germany are a mixture of pork and beef or veal. This is the great thing about bratwurst. There isn't really a right or wrong way to cook it and serve it as long as you're eating it.
This is the perfect time to get into our recipe, which in true Chef Tom fashion is a departure from the traditional bratwurst we're used to seeing. Let's go to Chef Tom on our teaching kitchen patio and get started.
All right, so to get this bratwurst process started, we've just finished grinding our meats. And we've ground together a 50-50 mixture of beef chuck roast and Boston butt pork shoulder. Now we're just gonna transfer the mixture to the bowl of a stand mixer fitted with the paddle attachment. Now we've got our meat and our seasonings for our bratwurst in this bowl of the stand mixer. And what we're looking to do now is create the primary bind. And that is when the meat gets nice and tacky and we know that it's gonna hold together and have that sausage texture. All right, the meat's looking nice and tacky. It's holding together really well. So we're just gonna throw it in the fridge before we form our meatballs.
All right, and this is a perfect time to stop and discuss why it is that we put the mixture into the refrigerator before we form the meatballs.
Yeah, so when we're making sausage, generally speaking, any kind of sausage, you want everything to be as cold as possible, from the meat to the equipment you're using to the ingredients beyond the meat. When the ingredients are warmed up, the fat begins to melt. And the fat melted into the sausage will drastically change the texture of the sausage.
And this is one of the other reasons that if you aren't using a stand mixer to combine this mixture, and if you're using your hands, you want to make sure and work that meat as little as possible so that you don't warm it up as you fold it in and over itself. All right, so let's head back to Chef Tom out on the patio as we finish the recipe.
All right, we're taking our sausage mixture now and forming it into roughly 2-inch meatballs. We want something that's fairly hefty,
but not too much for the bun. We've got our meatballs formed. We're gonna go and get these on the grill. Now, while these meatballs are cooking away, we want to work on our beer-braised sauerkraut. Now, I have a Dutch oven preheated on the grill as well. And to start this beer-braised sauerkraut, I'm going to add about 4 cups of sauerkraut in here, 1/4 cup of mustard sauce, and I'm just going to cover all of that up with some Free State Oktoberfest beer. And as these meatballs continue to cook, the sauerkraut is going to braise in the mustard and in the beer. As the meatballs come up to temperature, you know, we're checking the internal temperature with an instant read thermometer. And as we see it get to about 160 degrees Fahrenheit, we're removing them from the grill and just setting them aside until we can rewarm them in our sauce. And we're looking for that sauerkraut sauce to have kind of braised down so that it's not all liquid. We want it thickened up a little bit. At which point, we'll add in all of our meatballs, sprinkle in a little bit of white cheddar, and allow it to continue to cook and just melt all those flavors for another 5 minutes or so. Meanwhile, I'm toasting some sub sandwich buns just to get a little color, a little crunch on them, and then we'll build our sandwiches from there.
All right, now like we said, the recipe we did this week wasn't your traditional linked sausage. One of the big reasons we didn't pick to do linked sausage is because not everybody's going to have a meat grinder and a sausage stuffer at home, and it's not common home equipment. And speaking of a meat grinder, we ground our own sausage for this recipe, but you can simply buy pre-ground meat, or what's even better for you is to go ahead and have a butcher grind up your chuck and your pork shoulder roast for you. It's going to give you better consistency when all is said and done.
Now, that being said, if you do have the equipment at home, like a sausage stuffer, to get started on something like this, the process would be very much the same. I mean, we're keeping the meat cold the entire time. We're keeping the equipment cold all the time. And the process of mixing that sausage is going to be exactly the same. So the texture of the meatball would be identical to the texture of a linked sausage. And don't forget, the entire recipe we cooked today can be found over at kmuw.org.
Hey guys, really thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed this podcast, if you would please go to iTunes, Google Play Store, wherever it is you listen, and give us a rating and a review, that would be awesome. It would help the podcast show up for other people who are looking for similar content. And if you have anything that you would like us to talk about, any food history, food culture, or a recipe that you think would be great, please just shoot us an email at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com. And again, we really hope you enjoyed the episode, and join us next week as Chef Tom and I tackle the ever-present argument of East versus West Carolina barbecue sauce and the history of smoking a whole hog.